Hallelujah. Well, how many of you are glad to be here tonight? Say amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The power of unity. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, the Holy Ghost is doing something tonight. Holy Ghost is doing something tonight here in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the strength of the Holy Ghost, the joy of the Holy Ghost in this house. From Pastor Nichols all the way on down, Lord. Fresh joy, fresh strength, fresh fire in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Acts 2, verse 1. Hey, Dan, you mind bringing me my bottle of water there? Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And now down to verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." I'm telling you, we need the outpouring of the Holy Ghost so strong that you have to get up and explain what's going on. Hallelujah. "These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And on my servants and handmaidens I will pour out of those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Now turn over to verse 37. "Now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles." Now, if you take time to read this entire message, Peter was preaching a confrontational message. A lot of people nowadays don't like confrontational messages. They don't want the preacher to get in their face. But like Pastor says, there's been an attack of the fear of God here in the United States, where people don't want to fear God. They don't want a preacher to get in your face and say, "Man, you got to repent or you're going to miss heaven." People don't want to hear that kind of thing. And as much as we need to, we need a mighty revival of the Spirit of God to bring back the fear of God in the nation of the United States of America. Peter had just got finished preaching a very, very aggressive in-your-face message. And he said unto them in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and your children and to all them that are as afar off." Now turn to Acts chapter 12 with me, verse 23. "And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him." This is Herod. Actually, back up to 21. Verse 21, "And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms, and he gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. I want to read verse 23 again. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote Herod, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Now, I want you to remember tonight that this is New Testament. This isn't the Old Testament weird stuff. This is New Testament. This is the same day of grace and age of grace that we live in right now. And Pastor was saying that the judgment begins at the house of God. I want you to know tonight, I've been preaching that all year last year. Judgment, there is righteous judgment and there is unrighteous judgment. When the body of Christ is full of the fire of the Holy Ghost, when there's a greater moving of the Spirit taking place, when there's a greater passion for the things of God, there is a righteous judgment that begins to take place among the church. In other words, the Holy Ghost begins to outpour even more than he ever has before. And great power is given to the church to bring the moving of the Spirit of God, to bring revival to a nation that is far from God. That's righteous judgment. But the same righteous judgment can be an unrighteous judgment for somebody else. It's a judgment for their unrighteousness. And Herod here is living an unrighteous life, and judgment comes to him. Moving on, Romans 15. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15. Verse 19. And Paul is talking about his ministry. And he says, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And verse 20, yea, I have so strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. So here we have just read through the book of Acts, and we see how God wants to increase the church. We see how God wants to handle things with the body of Christ. Now, I want you to understand here, it's important that I tell the story. You've got to understand here that the 12 disciples were now trimmed down to the 11 disciples. For 400 years before Jesus was born, there had been no prophetic word. There had been no moving of the Spirit of God. For 400 years, the last prophet had prophesied, and it was 400 or 500 years from that time up until Jesus was born before there was any prophetic word uttered. And the disciples are growing up in this time, and they see that there's nothing going on. They've got something burning in their hearts because God has called them. And then Jesus is born. And then Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he begins to call Andrew and Philip. And they go to the other one and say, we've found the one of the Christ that is spoken of in the scriptures. Come and see. He's over in Nazareth. He's over here. Come and see Jesus. And they're beginning to get excited about what Jesus was doing because they knew this was the Christ. After 400 years of a dearth, after 400 years of dryness, you know, we can't let dryness and dearth and difficulty hinder us from pursuing the things of God. In the middle of that time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were changing up all of the big biblical doctrine. You know what religious people like to do when there are challenges coming against the body of Christ is they like to change the doctrine. They like to change things. I don't like it when things change because the Bible hasn't changed. Can you say amen tonight? People, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, when you study, they were supposedly the spiritual leaders of that day. They were the leaders of the people of God of that day, but they were in a total mess. They were changing things. They were saying, well, you know, we've got to have this many laws. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees then turned against each other and couldn't stand each other. And Peter and Andrew and Thomas and all these other disciples are living through all this. And finally, Jesus comes and begins to call them into the ministry. And they have 3 years of the most glorious ministry that they could possibly imagine. And people are coming to Jesus and asking him things like, are you going to set your kingdom up here on earth? Are you going to come and be king over Israel? They had missed what Jesus was doing. But you see the heart and the hope of the disciples. You see that they see Jesus here. He's here in the flesh, and they're excited about that. Their heart is getting excited. They're thrilled that Jesus is here and the miracles that are being wrought. All the things that had happened, the Bible says you couldn't put them in all the books of the world. All the miracles and the healings and the good things that Jesus did. And the disciples are excited about this. But there came a day when Jesus is talking to the disciples and he tells them on the third day, the Son of Man is going to be lifted up. And then he's on the third day, he is going to rise again. And how many of you know what Peter did? You know, we love the Word of God. But sometimes the Word of God is going to have us walk through some suffering times, through some challenging times. And Peter said, "May it never be, my Lord." And the Lord had to rebuke him. You know, sometimes it's interesting to me that Jesus told Peter right there, he said, "I'm going to rise again on the third day." That's the good news. That's the glorious news. He's going to raise from the dead, just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. Jesus has just prophesied to these guys, but Peter didn't believe that. The only thing Peter latched onto, Jesus talks for just a few minutes. He says, "I'm going to be lifted up on a cross and be crucified, and I'm going to rise again from the dirt on the third day." And Peter didn't believe Jesus was going to raise from the dead. He just latched onto that one part that says, "I'm going to be crucified." You can see how challenging it is when God's doing something to believe in what he is saying he is going to do. That when challenge comes and when hurt and pain and difficulty come, we want to latch onto that. And Peter, Jesus just told him he was going to raise from the dead. But Peter couldn't receive that. He couldn't catch that. He just latched on to that one part. Jesus, you can't die. You can't die. But he didn't understand how God was going to build his kingdom. And I want to let you know tonight, we don't understand how God is going to establish his kingdom. We don't understand everything about how God is going to move in the United States today. We don't understand everything about how God is going to move in the city of Fort Worth. But our job is just to trust him. Can you say amen tonight? A lot of times we don't want to hear the suffering word, but Jesus never gives you a suffering word alone. He is the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. When he tells you that something's going to die, when he tells you that you got to walk through a challenge, it's only because he's going to raise that thing up from the dead 30, 60, and 100 fold. So Peter had heard about the plan of Jesus dying on the cross. But you can imagine the heart of the disciples when Jesus did die, because nobody wants to see that happen. Nobody wants to see Jesus die on the cross. When you're standing there, there's no way to get past the emotion. It's too easy for us, and listen to me tonight, it's too easy for us just to read the story, and because we know the end of the story, to not understand what the body of Christ, what those apostles were going through. But this was a terrible situation for them. And God was given the word telling them, "I'm going to raise from the dead. Everything's going to be great. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost, and he's going to baptize you with fire." But they saw Jesus dying on the cross. And I hope you understand tonight the pain and the challenge and the hurt that was going on in these disciples. I hope you understand tonight that God has us walk through things. I'm telling you, sometimes, like Pastor said this morning, you feel like your heart's just been carved out. You know, you just don't understand, "Lord, why is this happening? Lord, I'll change. I'll do anything you want me to do." But nevertheless, even though Peter didn't want to see Jesus die on the cross, even though Peter was like, "Lord, I will fight for you to the death. I will, and then he backed it up. He went and pulled out his sword and cut a guy's ear off right when they were trying to apprehend Jesus. He didn't want this to happen. But the Holy Ghost has a plan. The Holy Ghost has a plan. My message tonight is the spirit of revival. You see, in the middle of that hurt and the pain, in the middle of what they, and then they see Jesus ascend up into heaven, and they're thinking, "God, what are we going to do?" You know, we come to places like that when we don't know what we're going to do. We come to places like that when we think, "God, I thought you were going to do it this way." But then you see him going up into heaven and Jesus isn't there anymore. And you don't know how you're going to step. You don't know how you're going to walk through this situation. You don't know how you're going to have the strength to make it through. You don't know what the plan of God is, but you've got to trust in the hand of God. Before I go on, I want to tell you right now that humility in your heart is the greatest guarantee of the will of God in your life. If you want to know for sure you're walking in the will of God for your life, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and see God do a mighty work. You know, I've heard it said, faith begins where the will of God is known. But I want to tell you tonight that trust begins where the will of God is unknown. Because sometimes we don't know everything. God can't tell us everything. I'm glad he hasn't told me everything that's taken place in my life in ministry. I wouldn't have been able to handle it. But you got to trust God when you don't know everything. Hallelujah. So here are the disciples in this situation. They don't know what to do. They've got this call in their life. They know that God's called them to preach the gospel. And then as we read in Acts chapter 2, he sends the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want you to know tonight that God has a greater and a fresh baptism of fire for you tonight. God has a greater and a fresh baptism of fire for this church tonight. That when we don't know, when we don't understand everything that has taken place, when you don't understand everything that has taken place in your personal life, God has a greater baptism of fire of the Holy Ghost in your life. Can you say amen tonight? Hallelujah. That day on the day of Pentecost. You know, it's interesting that God just didn't rain down a church growth plan from heaven. Can you say amen tonight? It's interesting that God didn't rain down six steps to have the life that you want from heaven, but he rained down the Holy Ghost in fire. Hallelujah. We must catch the fire and release the faith. Listen to this tonight. When you get a fresh touch of the fire of the Holy Ghost, your faith is going to increase for what God has called you to do. When you get a fresh touch of the fire of the Holy Ghost, your faith is going to increase for what God has called you to do. You know, God has a plan for hurt. God has a plan for misunderstanding, and that is the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. He burns up all the misunderstanding. He burns up all of the hurt and the pain. We have got to let the Holy Ghost touch us. We have got to let the Holy Ghost refresh us. Hallelujah. So that we can have a greater faith to step out into the greater plan that God has for us. When it looked like the end for the disciples right there, Jesus was crucified. Now he ascends up into heaven and they don't know what they're going to do. When it looked like the end, God sends a mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. Get hungry tonight for a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. You've got to catch the fire of the Holy Ghost. So that you can have a faith to do what God has called you to do. Faith grows where the fire is. I'm telling you, when we get away from the Holy Ghost, when we step away from what the Spirit of God is doing, our faith begins to get low. And instead of speaking the Word of God in boldness, criticism begins to come out of our mouth or misunderstanding. And God hasn't called us to do that. But get full of the Holy Ghost and fire and let Him work a work inside of your heart tonight. This kind of faith will produce change in what you do. This faith will change your behavior. You want to change tonight? You know your life needs change tonight? Get hungry for a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. This is the spirit of revival. Hallelujah. I hope I'm stirring you up tonight. We're going to lay hands on everybody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm starting to break a sweat up here. Hallelujah. Feels good. I've been fighting some sickness. Revival is a rending of the heart. Revival is a rending of the heart. Joel 2:13. Rend your heart and not your garments. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read through these notes. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time. Revival is a rending of the heart. People that drive to church, listen to this. This is for you tonight. People that drive to church need just as much change as the people that take the bus to church. Can you say amen tonight? We are doing a tremendous job for people to bring them into this house. But we still need to change. We still need to change. We still need to rend our hearts and not our garments. You know, I've said this a few times, the will of God will never exceed the work of God in your heart. And revival is a rending of the heart. When God wants to do a new thing in your life, I don't know what it is about the Lord, but he'll take some situations when you feel like, Lord, I don't want to go on any further. Lord, I can't take this anymore. You feel like your heart's just been ripped wide open. And the Lord comes in and he speaks a word and brings fresh fire to you right there. I mean, he heals you, he takes care of you, but at the same time, when your heart's wide open, he gives you fresh anointing, and it gets so deep inside of your spirit. Revival is a rending of the heart. If you want fresh revival in your life, if you want fresh fire in your life, there's got to be a rending of your heart tonight. There's got to be a rending of your heart, a change in your heart. If your heart has stopped changing for God, then your walk with God has stopped increasing also. If your heart has stopped changing for God, then your walk with God has stopped increasing also. Nobody gets to the place where they don't need change and fresh fire. Nobody gets to the place where they don't need change and fresh fire. They just get to the place where they're comfortable with where they are. I'm going to read that again. Nobody gets to the place where they don't need change and fresh fire. God has called us to go from glory to glory here tonight. Man, we've seen some tremendous waves of revival. But like I preached last time, as far as I'm concerned, until we're filling Texas Motor Speedway with evangelistic crusades and all the churches coming together, then we still need a greater outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Until the Lord returns, there's a greater outpouring of the Holy Ghost coming to the church. Nobody gets to the place where they don't need change and fresh fire. They just get to the place where they're comfortable with where they are. As much as it is about winning souls, it is still more about Jesus. But you can't get closer to Jesus without winning souls. As much as it is about winning the lost, it's still more about Jesus, but you can't get closer to Jesus without winning the lost. It's more about Jesus means there should be a greater fervor in your heart for Him now than ever before. What is your spiritual temperature? Hallelujah. Now, we're going to get to some prayer here. I love to preach and just shout, but I believe I just need to go through this and give this to you because God's doing something here tonight. Hallelujah. Greater level of glory in our hearts is a greater level of glory in the church. You see, when good judgment begins at the house of God, when the outpouring of the Spirit increases at the house of God, then God is able to do more in the city. Greater level of glory in our hearts is a greater level of glory in the church. That's what happened with Herod in Acts where we just read. Man, a ruler that stood up and claimed himself to be God, and God just smote him right there. Why was that? Was that because it was just a sovereign move of God? Oh, come on. Man, we write way too much off on a sovereign move of God. You know what we're doing when we write something off as being a sovereign move of God is we're absolving ourselves of the responsibility to get a fresh fire and a fresh faith for the moving of the Spirit of God. Man, I'm telling you, it's easier to just say, oh, that was a sovereign move of God back in the 1800s. That was a sovereign move of God back in 93. And then never get hungry again. And never rend your heart and never begin to change your life. And because it's not easy to change your heart. It's not easy for God to do a mighty work inside of your heart. I'm telling you, He wants to remove things. There's repentance that needs to take place. But that is a part of revival. Peter got up and said, repent that times of refreshing may come. There's repentance in revival. Hallelujah. But God has a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost here. Hallelujah. It's not just going to be the same as it has been at Calvary Cathedral, but we are increasing. We are going from glory to glory and from faith to faith. Can you say amen tonight? God has a greater outpouring of the Spirit for us here in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's answer for challenge and difficulty is just to blast that place with the fire of the Holy Ghost. God's answer for challenge and difficulty is just to blast that place with the joy of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen tonight? Hallelujah. Before you know what's happened, there's too much to rejoice about to complain about anything else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Greater level of glory in our hearts. I'm talking tonight about your heart, that revival is a rending of your heart. Greater level of glory in our hearts. In 1993, at Calvary Cathedral, there was a mighty revival taking place with Brother Rodney Howard Brown. And people began to report that there was a literal fire on the dome. These weren't people that were inside the church. These were passerbyers driving their car. And they began to report that there was a fire they saw on the dome of the church. Hallelujah. A sign and a wonder. Hallelujah. Greater level of glory in our hearts means a greater level of glory in our church and the city. Hallelujah. I was doing a crusade in Mexico in 01. That's 12 years ago now. And the final night, we made the final night a night of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm up there preaching as good as I can in Spanish, which is pretty average. I can do it, but I'm glad to be preaching in English tonight. And I preached in Spanish about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. We had maybe 1,200 people there that night. And I called people forward that needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We had a lot of pastors there ready to pray. And people said that when we prayed a corporate prayer for everybody to be touched by the Holy Ghost, and people said that when that prayer was prayed, actually I had a lady come up and tell me, she said, when that prayer was prayed, I saw a light come down from heaven, hit the altar, and then spread out over the crowd. Now, you know, people say a lot of stuff. You know, I had somebody come up to me after I preached in Waco once, and they grabbed my hand, and they're looking at my hand, and they're saying, Yep, it's on you too. And I'm thinking, what's on me too? Gold dust. And I'm looking at my hand. There was no gold dust on my hand. People say a lot of stuff. So I didn't really listen to this lady when she said, you know, that a light had descended from heaven and spread out over the crowd. But within just 2 or 3 minutes, another individual came and gave me a note. I tried to save this note. They gave me a note that said the exact same thing. They said, when you prayed, a light came down from heaven, hit the altar, and then spread out all over the crowd. You see, when God is honored and lifted up in a place where the spirit of revival prevails, God issues signs and wonders as his blessing over that place. Can you say amen tonight? Hallelujah. 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 God's answer is a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I pray you get hungry tonight. God's answer is a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. God's answer is a fresh outpouring of the fire of God. God's answer is a fresh outpouring of the joy of the Spirit. Hallelujah. God, you can get so blasted by the fire of the Holy Ghost that you can't stop yourself from going out and witnessing. You can't stop yourself. You're just like, I'm going to get up early and I'm going to go to the power tower and I'm going to be waiting outside that door because I've got to go pray for revival in the United States. You get so full of the Holy Ghost. That's God's answer, is the Holy Ghost and joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Charlie Elliott, my brother-in-law's father, is also named Charlie Elliott. He told me, Pastor, a few years ago, he was holding a revival in northeast United States at a church. And it was a prayer revival, like what Brother Dale does. And he said that the prayer and the intercession got so strong in that revival that people were driving by on the highway just in the middle of the day, and they would get touched by the Holy Ghost and come into the church and get saved. Hallelujah. That's the kind of power that God has given the church. Greater level of glory in our hearts is a greater level of glory in our church. And then that results in a greater level of glory in the city. And then a greater level of glory in the nation. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how arrogant politicians can get. That if the church is full of the fire of the Holy Ghost, if God has to smite Herod with worms again here in the year 2013, if there is a church that's full of the fire of God, that has the light of the gospel shining so strong out of that place, then God can reap judgment wherever he needs to. But there has to be people that are full of the fire of the Spirit of God. There has to be people that know, I cannot go another way. It may look easier over here, or different over there, or more appealing over there, or the grass is greener over there, but God has called me to this house and I cannot go another direction. And I want a fresh fire inside of my life. I want a fresh fire here in the church, because we are going to shake the city of Fort Worth. Hallelujah. A greater level of glory in your heart is a greater level of glory in this church. It starts in your heart right now. Hallelujah. That's God's answer for indescribable challenge. That's God's answer for the impossible. That's God's answer for indescribable pain. You get hurt so bad you don't know how you're going to walk again. You don't know how you're going to go through the next day. God's got an answer for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Revival is not just a petty thing for old school churches. It's the answer for the church and the nation, just like it was in the book of Acts. I know, you know, some people want to write revival off as being old-fashioned, but revival is not a petty thing just for the old school churches. It is the answer for the church and the nation, just like it was in the book of Acts. Now, I'm not speaking against strategy and plans for church growth and evangelism growth, but when those things become higher than the fire of the Holy Ghost, when our own plan and things become greater and a higher level of priority than the fire of the Holy Ghost, we're out of whack. Man, when anything becomes more important to you than what did God say and what is the Holy Ghost doing, then you're on the path to the dark side. That's the way that I look at it. I tell people that in the ministry. I tell them, look, man, the doing anything in the ministry with the number one priority of finances, you put finances above the Word of God. If you put finances above the Spirit of God, that's the path to the dark side. If you go somewhere and preach just because you'll get a good offering, but you have to whittle down a little bit of the message, man, you're on the path to the dark side. We don't have to compromise anything. The Holy Ghost is well capable. What He did in the book of Acts 2,000 years ago, He can do today. He hasn't changed and His answer has not changed. Hallelujah. It takes a lot of consecration. That's why it's a work in your heart. Hallelujah. There's no improvement on the Holy Ghost and fire. And there is no maturing past the Holy Ghost and fire. The Holy Ghost and fire does not come on us at one point in life so we're called to the ministry or so we know what we're doing when we're a teenager and then we get on the right track, but now we have matured and graduated past the Holy Ghost and fire. The disciples got filled and refilled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, the Holy Ghost, they prayed, and the Holy Ghost came and shook the place where they prayed, and they were filled with boldness. In Acts chapter 13, verse 52, it says that the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. They were refilled. It's not a one-time event. Hallelujah. Oh, get hungry for the Holy Ghost tonight. Revival starts with the Holy Ghost and fire in the heart bringing change. And then it results in mass growth. You can't get the growth of the kingdom of God before the fire of the Holy Ghost. You can't get the growth of the kingdom of God before the fire of the Holy Ghost, because when you start to do that, you're going to whittle things down. You're going to compromise this. Say, I don't need the fire of the Holy Ghost. We don't need miracle healing. You know, that's why when I go and do crusades in cities, I am just blatant when I go and approach pastors. I'm like, this is what we do, soul winning and healing crusade. I've got Holy Ghost and fire and healing all over all of my videos and my website, because I don't even want to go there. I made a decision back in the 90s that if anybody ever asked me to preach in a place where I couldn't flow in the Holy Ghost, my answer is no. I'm not your preacher. I don't know what you're looking for. But my answer is no. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to ever get in the pulpit and pull the plug on the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm not ever going to get in the pulpit and pull the plug on what the Spirit of God wants to do, because the plan of man has something else in mind. Numbers don't make legitimate compromise of the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost can reach all the numbers that we want and more than we can handle. Revival starts with the Holy Ghost fire in the heart bringing change. Then it results in mass growth. The true move of God never skips the fire to get the growth. Man, beware of anything that is void of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's the hand of man polluting it for fear of what people think, fear of the financial fallout, and for the personal comfort of not having to stay humble and pliable before God. Oh, don't crucify me for saying that one tonight. I'm going to read that again. Skipping the fire just to get to the growth and the numbers, to get a bigger head count, to get a bigger financial count, skipping the fire, getting rid of the Holy Ghost, is the hand of man polluting it for fear of what people think, fear of financial fallout. And it's a step of faith to flow in revival like Pastor does. I'm telling you, Pastor, I've preached in churches all over the place, and I can tell, you know, when I'm in a place where the pastor is fully full of faith for the move of God. I remember how you said in 93 somebody told you that it could destroy your church, and you said, if it does, we'll just rebuild the whole thing. You know, that's the kind of faith that it's got to, that we have to have for the move of the Spirit of God, because the devil is going to come against it. The move of God is not a ministry growing so much. Should I get into this? The move of God is not a ministry growing so much that when it moves into town, it threatens the attendance of other ministries. Did you hear that tonight? I just want to let you know this. The move of God is not a ministry growing so much that when that ministry gets into town, that it threatens other ministries. The move of God is ministry coming into town that threatens the bars, threatens the gangs, threatens the kingdom of darkness, and begins to bring people into the kingdom of God. We just read in Romans 15 that Paul said, "I determined not to lay and build on another man's foundation." The move of God does not build upon another man's foundation. The move of God comes into town and sees people getting saved and brought into the kingdom of God. The moving of the Spirit of God comes into town and sees people getting healed and delivered and baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire here in the church and out on the streets. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The people full of the power of the Spirit demonstrating signs and wonders are fully preaching the gospel of Christ. Romans 15, 19. The gospel of Christ can't be fully preached without it. Hallelujah. We can't fully preach the gospel of Christ without the demonstration and the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Which starts with a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So tonight, regardless of what's going on in your life, you may be doing great or you may be doing worse than you ever have before. God has a fresh touch for you tonight. Hallelujah. And God has a fresh work that He's doing here in Calvary Cathedral. I'm telling you, nearly 20,000 people saved since September. Last week, that balcony was filled. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. God is doing a great thing here in this house. So jump in, get on board, get excited about what He's doing. Hallelujah. Can you say amen tonight? Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up on your feet? Hallelujah. 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 Before we go on any further, just want to make sure, if you're in this place tonight, and if you were to die right now, you don't know for sure that you would go to heaven. Jesus is speaking to you. He's talking to you right now. I'm telling you, the presence of God that you feel, the anointing that you feel, that's the Lord tugging on your heart. If you're in this place, and if you were to die right now, you don't know for sure that you would make heaven. And I want to pray with you. Or you might be another category of person here tonight. You know you're going to heaven, but you know your heart is backslidden. You know your heart is not right with God. If you were to die right now, yeah, you'd go to heaven, but you know your heart is not right with God. The Lord's speaking to you tonight. It's time for you to make that change. The first step of revival is rending your heart and not your garments. The Lord's talking to you tonight to rend your heart and not your garments, to come up here and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior and change your life. Hallelujah. God's speaking to you. He's working on your heart. He's tugging on your heart right now. This is why we're here tonight. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. Hallelujah. So if you're in this place and you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven, or you know your heart is not right with God, I want you to raise your hand right now so I can see it and pray with you and pray for you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for touching every single person right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If the Lord's speaking to your heart, just raise your hand high so I can pray with you and pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If there's anybody in this place, hallelujah. We may be all saints here. I'm going to ask one more time. If you're in this place and you know your heart is not right with God, raise your hand high so I can pray with you and pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. How many of you received from the Word tonight? How many of you are really excited about that prayer time we had right out of praise and worship? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I believe that I'd like to just begin laying hands on people for a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. And I can, if you want to come up and dismiss, or I don't know what you want to do right now, but hallelujah. Just share something.
If you'd like, just leave a love offering here on the platform tonight. If you're hungry, there's been a lot of prayer here tonight. Just come if you'd like. I tell you what, let's bring our love offering and then we'll. Yeah, let's do that. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.